Okay, we're going to start again from Gufa. Amar Rav Huna. The Gimel Mekomos Nechleku Shammai V'Hillel. Shammai Omer Mikav Chala, V'Hillel Omer Mikabayim. V'Chachomim Omerim Loka Divrei Zeh, V'Loka Divrei Zeh. Ela Kav U'Mechtsa Chaya V'Chala. Mishigdilu Hamidos Omru Chameshis Ravoyim Kema Chayovim V'Chala. V'Yosi Omer Hei Pturim, Hei V'Od Chayovim. Okay, yesterday we ran through this. I want to explain very simply what the cheshbonos over here. Chala is what's it called? The same as an omer. Okay, whatever the omer was, that was the amount that you take for chala. The omer was asiris ha'efa. It was 1/10 of an efa. An efa is now the regular, the original midos in the midbar were 18 kavim equal to an efa. Okay, so asiris ha'efa, asiris is not a tenth, because it's a tenth milivar. In other words, after you take off a tenth, right, you add, or after you add a tenth, you add that. So really there's 11 parts, and this is 1/10, right, is really a ninth. So therefore, if you take a ninth of 18 kavim, you get 2 kavim. That's the shear of basil. Basil holds kavayim. 2 kavim is the shear of chala, which is asiris ha'efa, 1/10 of an efa milavar. Okay? Beis Shammai agrees with Hillel that it's basically an asiris ha'efa is 2 kavim, but he holds out of those 2 kavim, they made 2 meals. So you only do one of those meals. So what's it called? So one of those meals is 1 kavim. So that's the shear of chala. Okay, so that's the machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. And they used the measurements of the midbar. Now, what's it called? The Chachomim and Rav Yossi hold that what's it called? That the Asiris HaEfa is Milagav. It's mamish 1/10 of an Efa, what's it called? Milagav, which means that. If you have, what's it called, 18 kavim, which is 72 lugim, okay? 72 lugim equals 18 kavim. There's 4 lug in a kav, and that's why a lug is called a rova. It's a quarter of a kav, okay? Those are called revoyim, 1/4. But they're also called a lug. So if there are 8, what's it called, 4 lugim in every kav, and there are 18 kavim in every efa, so then what's it called? So then there are 72 lugim in an efa. So an asiris ha'efa is 7.2 lugim, 7 1/5 lugim. That's called 7 1/5 revoyim. Okay. Now when they added to the midos, so they what's it called? They added a shtus milavar, right? They added 1/6, which is really a fifth. So Yerushalmi became, what's it called, the things became bigger, so there were 6 revoyim, 6 lugim, instead of 7 1/5. 6 lugim, Yerushalmim, equaled 7 1/5 lugim midbarios, so we're down to 6 lugim. And then, what's it called, in Sipori, they did another 6, which means 5 lugim, right, were what's it called, Sipori, equaled 7 1/5 midbarim. So therefore, 5 arovas, in other words, 5 lugim, were the amount of what's it called, of chala in the midah tzipori, and that also equaled 43 1/5 beitzim. And the only thing is that what's it called, that Rabbi Yossi holds you didn't need the beitzim of the midbar a little bit bigger than our beitzim. So you didn't need exactly, what's it called, 43 1/5. What's it called? You needed a little bit more, right? So you had, what's it called, 5, your potter, 5 plus a little bit more, b'chayev, and the Chachamim hold you needed 5 exactly. He hold you need a little bit more, right? And then this farm, now 5% more, with the beitzim bigger in the midbar, so you had to add another 5%. So Chamisha v'od is chayev and chala. Chamisha Revoyim exactly is not chayv. So in the Midos of Tzipori, 5 lugim equals 7 1/5 lugim of the Midbar, and that's the shear of Chala, except the Chachamim held that it's exact. It's exactly five lugim. And what's it called? And Rabbi Yossi held that the Beitzim of the Midbar were a little bit bigger, and therefore you had to add 5%. So 5 plus a little bit, plus 5%, are Chayiv and Chala, less than that is not Chayiv. That's Rabbi Yossi's Shita. And so that's all the different shitas, and it comes out that, what's it called, 72 lugim is 432 beitzim. So if you have now, what's it called, 5 lugim, right, 5 lugim would be, well, no, that's what's it called, 7 and a fifth lugim, midborim, okay, would work out to be 43 and... a fifth beitzim, because what's it called? What it comes out to be is an asiris so'efa is one tenth of the way they hold it is of one tenth of 432 is 43.2 is 43 and a fifth beitzim. Okay, midborim. Okay, so that's the shear of challah.
In the same Mishnah, you have midborim and
right. Now, for whatever reason, Beishamim Beshilul use the midbar. What's it called? Mida. And Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim used the Tzipori, which was common in their time. Okay? Okay, let's go on. The Idach, what's the second place where Shammai and Hillel argued? Hillel Omer, Mole Hin Mayim Shu'uvim Poslim Es HaMikvah. Shechayiv Adam Lomer B'Shalosh and Rabbi. Okay? We'll see one second how Rashi learns here, and then we'll see the Vilna Gaon. Okay? That full hin of water, right, is what's it called? A hin is 12 lugim. Okay? A hin is 12 lugim. And that's the biggest shear that we find in the Torah for liquid things, a hin. Okay? So therefore, Beis Hillel said, or Hillel said, it's not Beis Hillel, it's Hillel, Hillel said that you need a full hin of Mayim She'uvim to passel a mikvah. And the reason he said hin, now usually they used midos that were lugim, right? Not the lashon of the Torah, hin. This is what Rashi learns. But he said hin instead of lugim, in order to what's called say it like he heard it from his Rebbe, he heard it from Shmaya Bakalian, they used the Torah Lashon and not the what's it called, the Lashon that was normally used. Shammai Omer Tisha Kavin. Shammai holds you need Tisha Kavin. Okay, which is 27 lugim. Right? Because a lug, like we said before, one lug is 3 lugim is a kav. So Tisha Kavin is 27 lug. A hin is 12 lug. And that is, what's it called, 48? Yeah. What's it called? 12 lug is... 12 lug is... how many kav? 6 kav. No. 3 kav. 3 kav. And Beis Shammai is tes kavim, is 3 times as much. So according to this, Beis Shammai is lekula and Beis Hillel is lechumra. You need more mayim she'uvim to passel a mikvah. What's talking about? Let's go back. Okay, now that we got the shiurim right, let's go back to the inyan. What happened over here? If you have a mikvah that has 40 saw or more, then you can pour all the water in the world into it, and it doesn't become passel. It all becomes mikvah water, because that's zriya. Once you put any kind of water into a kosher mikveh, that water transforms, it's like it was planted in the mikveh and becomes a mikveh water. But if you have a mikveh that's less than 40 saw, then if you pour these amounts of drawn water into it, it passels the whole mikveh. You have to drain the whole thing, dry it out, and start again. Okay, all that water becomes passel. Okay, so how much water, mayim shuvim, drawn water, passels an incomplete mikveh? So Hillel says, Mole Hin. A hin, which is, like we said, 12 lugim. Okay? Shammai says, 9 kavim. You need a lot more. Okay, and we'll see in one second what the reason is behind these shiurim. The Chachavim, Rami, Loki, Divrei, Zeh, Veloki, Divrei, Zeh. And the Chachamim hold night neither of them. Ad shebo beis gardoyim misharva ashba shemushalayim vehidu mishum shmaya vatalyon sheshlosha lugim mayim shuvim posos hamikvah. Three lugim pasul hamikvah. That's what the Chachamim hold.
The Idach and the third case where Shammai and Hillel themselves argue. Shammai Omer kol hanoshim dayin shatan. Shammai says that if a woman made an examination and found herself to be impure, so her impurity starts at that moment. We're not afraid that there was actually blood there from before and it just didn't come out. The Hillel Omer mipkida lipkida, that she becomes tamei retroactively from the last examination she made before this one. We're afraid that there was blood immediately after the previous examination, and it wasn't discovered until now when she made the examination. Now it came out, but it was already in her system before she actually discovered it now. So she becomes tamei from the last time she made a clean examination. We are afraid that immediately after that she became tamei and didn't discover it until this examination. Vafil liyomim harbi, and even if it's many days before, for instance, she made an examination on Tuesday and was okay, and on Thursday she made another examination and she found blood, then she is tamei retroactively from right after the Tuesday examination. The Chachamim romim lo kedivrei zeh v'lo kedivrei zeh, and the Chachamim say not like either of those opinions, not like Shammai or like Hillel. Ela me'eis le'eis memayit al yedei mipkida lipkida, u'mipkida lipkida memayit al yedei me'eis le'eis. She is tamei retroactively the shorter time, meaning no more than 24 hours. If she made her previous examination more than 24 hours before this examination, then she only is tamei retroactively for 24 hours. And if her last examination was less than 24 hours, then she's only tamei retroactively from the last examination. The Suleka, are there no other cases where Shammai and Hillel argue? The Ha'ika Hillel Omer Lismoch v'Shammai Omer Shalol Lismoch. Hillel says that you should make smicha, lay your hands on the sacrifice that is brought on Yontif. If you bring a sacrifice on Yontif, there is a machlokas whether you have to make smicha on it or not, if you lay your hands on the sacrifice or not. This argument involves a individual sacrifice that's brought on Yontif. Hillel holds that you have to make the laying of the hands, a smicha, on the sacrifice immediately before you slaughter it. So it has to be done on Yontif, and it's permissible to be done in Yontif, even though you have to put your entire weight down on the animal, and that's considered making use or involving yourself with an animal on Yontif, which is prohibited normally. Here, the rabbis permitted it. And Shammai says that you are not allowed to make use of the animal like that, and therefore you don't make the smicha on Yontif. But he holds that the smicha doesn't have to be immediately before you slaughter it. It can be even before, and therefore you make the smicha erev Yontif. So here is a fourth case where Hillel and Shammai argue. Kiko amar Rav Huna heicha deleka pluksa deravusa bahadayu. When did Rav Huna say there's only three cases when other Tanoim don't argue in the same thing? But here the smicha was an ongoing argument for many generations. It's not just Hillel and Shammai that argued about it. It's many other Tanoim who argued about the same thing, and therefore it's not counted. The Ha'ika Habotzer Lagas, Shammai Omer Huchsher, the Hillel Omer Lo Huchsher. Right? There's another case, though, where Hillel and Shammai argued. If somebody harvests grapes for the sake of making wine from them, Shammai says that the liquid that comes out is significant and makes the grapes liable to receive tumah. And Hillel omer lo hukshar. And Hillel says, no, that liquid that comes out when you put the grapes together in the baskets that you harvested, that liquid is not yet called wine, and it is not significant enough to make the grapes liable to mekabel tumah. So here is, again, another case where Hillel and Shammai themselves argue. Where it says, Bar minei dahi dehasim koshosik lehillel Shammai. In the end, Hillel admitted to Shammai immediately, and therefore it wasn't considered an argument since it didn't last. That very same day, Hillel was quiet and accepted Shammai's ruling.
Yossi ben Yoezer, Yisrael, and Yossi ben Yochanan Yerushalayim, Gozru Tumal Eretz Ha'amin, Ve'al Klei Zechuchis. The Gemara asked, either Rabbanim of Shmonim Shana, the 80 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash, that they were the ones who made the Gzeira on these things. So the Gemara says, and it's impossible that Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan Yisrael, Yerushalayim, were what's it called, those Rabbanim, because they lived much, much before, 100 years before. Hillel was 100 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash, and they were many generations before Hillel. So they couldn't have been 80 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash. So that's where we ended the question. Those two couldn't be the same. So how could it be the two different generations made the same gezeirah? Elo osu inu gozer agusha lisrof va'avira v'lo klum. What happens is like this. There are two gezeirahs on Eretz Ha'amim. One on the clumps of earth themselves. Right? The earth itself is matami. If you bring the earth to Eretz Yisrael, right, also has a din of tuma, the clumps of earth, and the avir. If you go into the atmosphere of Eretz Ha'amim, is also matami. And Tosfos brings down that there's a shaila in Gemara Nedarim, what that means, avira is matami. Avira is matami if you're in the atmosphere, even if you have no connection to the ground at all. The ground itself is separated from you completely. You're in a shiva teva, you go in a carriage that's completely closed in into Eretz Ha'amim, but you're in the atmosphere. There's windows are open or whatever. So you're in the atmosphere. That in itself is matami. It's not a din of ohel. That's as if the tuma of the ground rises up like a regular din of ohel. But the avir itself in Eretz Ha'amim is tamei. That's one possibility the Gemara has. Or the avir is matame because it's like an ohel over the ground. And therefore, it would have to be that you would be exposed to the ground, but not totally, what's it called, closed off from the ground. So that's the shaila, what avir means. But whatever it is, there were two gzeiras. One on the clumps of earth itself, even if they're not in Eretz Ha'amim. You brought them to Eretz Yisrael, and a truma touched those clumps of earth, it becomes possible. And secondly, if you went to Eretz Ha'amim, you didn't touch the ground, right? Either you were exposed to the ground from above, or you were just exposed to the air completely. That was a second zeir.
Enough communion with the air would be to bring a bottle of air.
No, that bottle of air for sure doesn't come.
It's not the air itself.
Right. Being in that, it's either the ohel of the gush or whatever. Okay. And if you brought clumps of earth into Eretz Yisrael, then for sure it's not matame be'olam, because we're not choshish, there are more bones. What the problem of Eretz Ha'amim is that they didn't mark their graves, and we're afraid that you're going over a grave and that there are pieces of bones or whatever in the earth. But in fact, so somebody says it's only there for clumps of earth, but not fine sand, because you could see the bones in that. Here it's clumps where the bones could be lost. But any bone that's less, what's it called, that's a sa'ora or more, right, is matami if you touch it, but it's not matami ba'ohel. So we're afraid there may be particles of bones that if you touch them, you're tamei, but not al sa'ohel. So it could be that they were gozer on the ground of Eretz Ha'amim, because maybe there's a whole grave there, and then they were gozer on the avir because of ohel. But if you bring a clump of earth into Eretz Yisrael, then it's matami if you touch it, but it's not matame if you're over it or whatever, not touching it. Oh, well, it's not matame. Okay, so what happened was like this. In her gozer agusha lisrof, avir v'lo klum. Yossi v'yossi, and I understand the Bach over here. If somebody could explain it to me, I'd appreciate it. Rashi says, Asu Inhu, Yossi v'Yossi. Right? Those are the two Yossis. Yossi ben Yoezer, Yisreda, and Yossi ben Yochanan, Yishur Shalayim. The Bach is Magia, Yossi v'Yosef. Who is Yosef? And why is he Magia and Rashi when Rashi seems to be very cautious that there's two Yossis here? I have no idea what this Bach means. Okay, in any case. It was probably a simple answer, but it evades me. So also Inhu, Gozer Agusha Lisro, the Avira Veloklum, right? The original Takana of the two Yossis was that that the clumps of earth themselves, if they touch Truma, you have to burn the Truma, considered Badai Tame, right? The Avira Veloklum, and they didn't make Xera on the air. Only on the clumps of earth itself. The air, there was no Xera at all originally. But also Rabbanan de Peshana, many years later, the Rabbanan who were 80 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash, they had added to this Xera. Gozer Avira Liklos, they made a Xera that the atmosphere, if the Truma goes into the atmosphere of Eretz HaAmin, then you're Tole, they didn't make it as Chomer as the earth itself, okay? Because here there's more sphakus, like we said. The atmosphere, if it's a din of Ohel, that only applies if there's mamish, a whole body, right? But not if there's just particles of bone. There wouldn't be an Ohel. So if there's not even if there's particles of bone, which would be tameh if you touch it, it wouldn't be tameh ba'ohel. So already we're reducing the gravity of the air over the earth itself. The earth itself, if you touch it, no matter what, if there's particles of bone or if there's a whole body, it's tummy. But the air, if there's only particles of bone, wouldn't be tummy anyway. So when they made the xera on the avir, they made it less. So originally they'd make a xera altogether. And now they made a xera litlos, that the truma, you don't burn the truma, but you can't eat it. You just leave it, rot by itself. Right? And that was what the Rabbanan of Peshanim did. They added the xera of avir litlos. So Mara says, Lameimra, the chad xer to havi l'sreifa. You mean to say that the original xera was on the ground that you burn truma? Right? That can't be. For Homer ilfa yodayim tchilas xerosim l'sreifa. Yodayim who did tchilas xerosim l'sreifa. Hamid yachrin yalo. We had before that ilfa said that when they were gozer on stam yodayim, the original xera was that you burn truma if you touch it with stam yodayim. There was no two stages. First they said, don't burn it and don't eat it, and then they made a gzera to burn it. No, the original gzera was to burn. Mashma, only that gzera of Stam Yodayim was originally to burn. But other gzeras went in stages. Originally they made it to be tola and then to burn. So it would imply that if there were two different stages here, the first stage was not to burn. The first stage was leave it, don't burn it, don't eat it, and then, if they made a second stage, the second stage was to make it vadai tameh, and you have to burn it. So Mara says, Elo also inu gozra gusha litlos. No, we'll change the explanation. There are two stages in this gezerah. The first made by the two Yossis, and the second made by the Rabbanan of Peshanim, the Rabbanan who were 80 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash. The two Yossis were gozer, agusha litlos, Avira Veloklum. They made a gzera on the clumps of earth that if they touch truma, you don't burn the truma, right? Because maybe it's not tummy, but you don't eat it because maybe it is tummy. So they left it in the matzah of suffix, okay? Because if it's not tummy, you can't burn truma that's not tummy. It's also to burn truma. It's also to waste truma. Okay? So, but if it is tummy, you're not allowed to eat it. So they made it, don't eat it, don't burn it, just leave it rot by itself. Va'avira v'loklum, and they didn't make any gzera on the avir. Tosu says they could have said they made the same gzera on the avir, and then the other one. But Tosu says there was enough rayas that there was a time when there was no tomb on the avir. The Gemara knew there was some stage in history, right, after this point there was still no gzera on avir. So that's what the Gemara says. The Emes, they made a gzera on the gush, on the clumps of earth, that if it touched truma, you're tola, and on the avir they didn't make any gzera. But also Rabbanan de Peshana, and the Rabbanan of Peshana came after them. Gozer Agusha Lisro, they made a gzera on the clumps of earth that you burn truma. They added to the original gzera. And they said, you're not anymore going to just leave the truma. You're going to burn it if it touches the clumps of earth from Eretz HaAmim. the Avira Litlos, and they also added that the atmosphere in Eretz Ha'amim is Metame Litlos. And then, if the Truma doesn't touch the earth, but it comes into the atmosphere of Eretz Ha'amim, you don't burn it, you don't eat it, you leave it rot. But it says, we're still not finished. Because, okay, that's if there was only two gzeiros. But we're going to see there was another, body that got into this gzeira too. Vakati ba'usha gozer. In Usha, that was after Churban Beis HaMikdash. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin was in Usha. Okay, so now we have a few hundreds of years, or 100+ years before Churban Beis HaMikdash, 80 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash, and now after Churban Beis HaMikdash, we find also that there were gozer on these things. This non, avav sveiko sorf in a satruma. Right? This Mishnah is referring to the takonis of Usha. Right? And Tosus points out there are a lot of stakas that we, that we burn truma on. But these six were specifically instituted by the Beis Din in Usha. These are six doubtful situations where, even though it's doubtful, we burn the truma. Okay, because normally in a doubtful situation, you don't burn it, you don't eat it. These things, they made a gzera that if these kind of doubts, you burn the truma. And this was all in Usha. Okay, we'll see in one second. What are they? Al Sufik Beis HaPras. Rashi learns, we'll see in one second, Al Sufik Beis HaPras is where you had a grave that was lost in a field. You don't know where it is, right? And you don't know Bechlal if it's there or not, I guess. They'll have to say that in Rashi. Because Tosa says if you just don't know where the grave is, then it's a Suffolk Doraisa, and a Rishus HaYochid, it will be Tummy, and there it says even these Stakas and Rishus HaYochid are not Tummy. So Tosa learns differently. Tosa says it's talking about a field that you knew there was a grave, and it was plowed. And you're not sure now if there's any bones left that are bigger than a Sa'ora. Okay. So Al Suffolk Beis HaPras, so Sufik Beis HaPras is, you're not sure if this is a Beis HaPras or not. We'll see in one second what it means. The Al Sufik offered Habami Eretz Ha'amim, and Sufik of earth that came from Eretz Ha'amim. The Al Sufik Big Deyam Ha'aretz, Sufik of, whether this is Big Deyam Ha'aretz or not. The Al Sufik Kalim HaNitzoyim, Sufik on all Kalim, just found some Kalim. You don't know if they're tummy or not, you have to assume they're tummy. The Al Sufik HaRokim, you found some spit. You're not sure whose spit is it. Is it spit of an Adam Tahar or a Zav? So they made all spit like a Zav. What's it called? And it's Sufik, it's Tamitami. What? No, since rogue people are in a Zav. The Al Sufik may ragli Adam, Shekineged may ragli Behema. And Sufik, urine from a human being that is right next to urine from an animal. Now Rashi learns, we're going to get to these Rashi in a second, but just for expedience, or to explain what's going on over here. Rashi learns that it's a stek steak. Because I would assume that since this is from an animal, this one may also be from an animal. This one also may be from an animal. And therefore, what's it called? So I have a suffix whether this first urine is a human or animal. It's an animal, it's not metabolic. Right? And not only that, maybe it's from an Adam Tar. Even if it's from a human being, maybe he's Tar. Stek steak. Tosus says, no, the opposite is the case. Where it's, the case over here is where it's not a sex state. And the opposite, the reason that it says that it's urine, opposite animal urine, is because when they're right next to each other, you can see for sure this is from a human being. It doesn't look like the animal. And then that's only one suffix. It's a human being, but is he tar or tummy? But if it would be urine that wasn't mamish next to animal urine, then I have two stakes. Is it a human being? And is he tar, then Tosus holds that it wouldn't be tummy. It's a sex steak. But Rashi holds it here, even sex steak is tummy. Al vadai magon, the al sotik tumas and sorf in satrum. Okay, so the first opinion says that it's only if you surely came in contact with these things, but you're not sure if they were tummy or not. Okay? You surely touched them, right? You touched the beged of an Am Haaretz, okay? But you're not sure if he was tummy or not, if the beged was tummy or not. That's when, on these sfeikas, you burn truma. But if you're not sure if you touched it, right, you're not sure if you touched these things, then you don't burn truma. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afal sofik magon, even if you're not even sure if you touched it. These things were a suffix to begin with, and you're not even sure if you touched it, right? Rishus Hayochid Sarfin, right? Then Rishus Hayochid, you still Sarf Tuma. Suffix what? It's a sex thing. A sex thing, and Rishus Hayochid is also Tuma. The Chachomim Omrin, Rishus Hayochid told it. The Chachomim hold no. In Rishus Hayochid, and still in this situation, you're still told it, right? Because even though Suffix Tuma Rishus Hayochid is Tuma, but in these situations, it was originally only Exera. This is what's called not really a legitimate suffix. We don't have any reason to think that these things are coming. Right? Rishus Hayochid Tolin, Rishus Haravin Tahorin, and Rishus Haravin they be Tahor, if you have a suffix maga, if you weren't sure if you touched them altogether. It's only where you're sure you touched them, there it's possible either you're Tola or you're Sorin. The Omar Ula, and Ula said, Elu Vav Stekos Be'usha Hiskinu. These six stekos, if you burn Truma for these six stekos, that takana was made in Usha years after Churban Beis Hamikdash. Gemara says, so we have already a third body involved in this halacha of burning truma because it came in contact with Eretz Ha'amim. So Gemara says, Elo asu inu gozer agusha litlos ba'avira velo klum. No, now we'll go and say what the chronology was. Yosi v'yosi were gozer that the clumps of earth, they should be considered tame enough to be tole truma. Right? You don't burn it yet. You only were tole it. And the avir was nothing. They didn't make any gzeira on the avir of Eretz Yisrael. Also, Rabbanim de Shmonim Shana, the Rabbanim of Shmonim Shana came along, gozer idi de idi liklos, and they said on both of them, you're only tole. Both on the gush and on the, what's it called, on the avir. You're tole. So they added avir. But they didn't change the gzeira on the gush. They left it the way it was. You don't burn, you don't eat, you leave it in limbo. And what's it called? And this, but they added that the same thing applies to the avir. But also Ba'usha, and the Rabbanim of Usha came along and they said, Agusha Lisro, burn the what's it called truma if it touches the clumps. The avir could the koikoi, and they left the avir the way that it was, and avir is only tolen. Okay. I don't 100% understand over here one thing. And I don't think anybody speaks about it. No. All right, what was the kash over here? L'chora, maybe the original takanas were only where it was vaday, what's it called, tumas eretz ha'amin. These are on suffix. Offer Habami Eretz Ha'amim. Right? In other words, what I would understand is, Sofik offer Habami Eretz Ha'amim, you're not sure if this is Eretz Yisrael, Dika Earth, or Chutz La'aretz Earth. Maybe they weren't gozer on the Sosveikos. They didn't say you burn Truma if it's a Sofik. They said if it's for sure Eretz Ha'amim, then you burn Truma. If it's a Sofik Eretz Ha'amim, then maybe you don't burn Truma. You're only told it. Came along the Rabbanim of Usha, and they said, even if it's a Vade Eretz Ha'amin, you burn Truma. Right? That would seem to me the simplest answer. But the Gemara doesn't seem to even consider that. Right? Why did the Gemara assume that the original Takana included Sufik Eretz Ha'amin when it doesn't seem to be that at all? Where? Yeah, very good. But Lamaisis Lugmar could say that, what's it called, that the, even according to Rabbi Yossi, right, what did they say? Sothek, what was the original Gzeira? Yossi ben Yo, right? Gozu Tumal Eretz Ha'amin. But Echadami, Sothek Magon also would only be Tolan, according to the first Gzeira. Wherever it was a Sothek, you're Tolan. The Gzeira of Usha was that even where it's a Sothek, whatever the Sothek is, you're sorry. Whatever you learn the suffix is. But since we're only learning Yom and Yom, it's just a hell of a run.
All the Truma from Bado, would it be considered
Tame? No, it learned in Bado. If you had Truma in Bado that touched the ground, or you had a clump of earth from Bado come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Truma touched it, you'd burn the Truma.
So
But in pure kuslaris, you have your tumah after not being in tumah.
And echadamis, so they bring tumah there. It's a kuslaris.
The whole second year.
What? No, but somebody brought truma there or whatever. Or they were gozer on truma also, truma the rabbana, but it was all truma tmeya. That's why today, if the truma would take off, is anyway coming. Okay. Okay. Let's see Rashi. Also, inhu yosi v'yosi. And again, if somebody can figure out what this Bach, appreciate it. Gozer agusha lisrof, truma hanogas begusha offer, truma that touched the clumps of earth. Va'avira litlos, truma hanichnesis ba'avira, truma that went into the atmosphere, ve'ein dover matzig benosayim, and nothing separates between it and the ground. Kagon shida putzu mitachteh. So Rashi's learning that the avir is a din of ohel, that the reason the avir became tameh is because the tumah from the ground extended upward like a regular ohel. The Tosus brings down that in Gemara Nedarim there's a shaila whether that's the reason it's tameh or it's tameh because it's in the avir even if it's not exposed to the ground. Va'akati agusha lisrof ba'usha gozer. Lamaisa, the fact that you burn truma, right, was on the gush was made much later in usha. It wasn't originally made. They never burned truma on the clumps of earth before usha. And again, I'm not sure why, because all we know from Usha is that they burned truma even on Safi, Eretz Ha'amin, right? We know raya from here that they never burned truma before on Vada Eretz Ha'amin. I'm sure that somebody speaks about this in Rishonim very clearly, but since we're only learning Amud Yomi, and I'm also only learning Amud Yomi, I'm not learning this B'Iyum, so just to have, so if somebody's learning at B'Iyum, you want to look up and let me know that there's Rishonim speak about this, it would be beyond me that nobody has his kasha. Unless we're totally learning false pshat here. Al sofik beis hapras, kolomer, al sveiko shel beis hapras. We're not sure if this is a beis hapras. Beis hapras, the word pras means porus. It's extended. It's a field that's extended either because a grave was lost in this area or because a grave was plowed into this area. That's an idea of pras. There's other ideas of pras also, why it's called a beis hapras. But I don't remember now. I remember learning when we learned Mishnayos. But Lamaisa, what's it called? If I have a chance to look it up, I'll let you know the other pshat. That's one pshat. You go truma shenichnesus lebeis hapras. You bring truma into a beis hapras. The husada she'oved b'kever. Rashi says it's a field that a kever was lost in the steel. We don't know where it is. Kainu sofik b'lo yadinu nehila al kever imlav. We don't know if the part of the field you went in, if you passed over the kever in your tamei or not. The al steiko shel afar eretz ha'amim, the chol afar eretz ha'amim misap kelon the kever shel neis. Ah, okay. This Rashi answers the question. Okay, that Rashi says it doesn't. Even though the Rashi doesn't is difficult also, because all the other ones are sofik. Right, but steiko shel eretz afar eretz ha'amim means not a suffix whether it's eretz ha'amim, but the suffix of eretz ha'amim. What's the suffix? Why did they make a gzeira on eretz ha'amim? Because they were afraid that there were graves there that weren't marked, or pieces of bodies that weren't marked. So that's called steiko shel afar eretz ha'amim, the suffix that demanded a gzeira on eretz ha'amim. So it's not talking where it's a suffix. But even the Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says Sofik Magon, right? And the Gemara has a whole shayla over here. It's talking about not Sveikon. Not sure that it's a Sofik whether it is these things. But it could be not. But we can learn all of them like Rashi. All of them are Xeros that were made because of the Sofik. The Al Sveiko Shol Big Dei Amoritz. The Kula Misap Gilon Shem Yoshva Leyan Ishto Nida. Kedishnan Big Dei Amoritz Medrash Leprushim. Same idea, Rashi says. It's not talking about where it's a suffix, whether it's Big Day Amoharis or not. It's Vadeg Amoharis, but the reason they made a Xer on Big Day Amoharis, because they're a suffix, whether his wife, who was a Nida, sat on it. So every Amoharis isn't careful that his wife shouldn't, when she's a Nida, shouldn't sit on his clothing, so they made a Xer on all Big Day Amoharis because of this suffix. So it's not talking where it's a suffix, we're sure it's Big Day Amoharis, but the Big Day Amoharis, the Xer was made, mitam this suffix. So that's called Sveika. That's the sveikus we're talking about. Even though the Gemara is not mashed like that, but the Rashi is clear like that. The al sofik kelim hamitzoyim, the lo yadinim tmeim hen. Sofik kelim hamitzoyim means they made a gzeira on all kelim. You just find a kli, you have to consider it tamei. even though we're not sure if it's Tameh or not, they made a gzeira that's considered Tameh. Sufik Rokin, call Rokin, Misapkulon, Dilma the Zavnin. All Rokin were Misupik, maybe they're from the Zav or not, and therefore that's called Sufik Rokin. That's the gzeira they made on all spittle, maybe it came from the Zav. The Al Sufik may Ragle Adam, Hach Sufik Lodomi Lahanech. Right? So this is not the same as the other ones. Right? Dilael. Elafilu Misapkalon in Ne Ragle Odame. Here, as he says, here's different. Here, even if we're not sure if it's Ragle, Me Ragle Bene Odam, right? Im Rag Me Ragle Behemahe, Dika Trace Veke, Lakula. Dim Tim Salomer, the Odam Shema Tahar, right? She can negat Me Ragle Behema, Ravusashmina. The Lotema Midahani de Behema, Hani Nomi de Behema. Rashi thinks over here, it's different than the other ones. It's clear from Rashi. The first ones are not talking if it's a suffake, if it was or it wasn't. And Rashi had to learn like that, otherwise my question is a question. So Rashi answered my question. Right? That's why he had to learn the Gemara not, and clearly, because this case is clearly a suffake, whether it's urine from a human being or not. Right? Unlike the other cases. But you have to learn that the other cases are different, otherwise my kash is a kash. Right? So it's muchak, Rashi says, that the Gemara has to be talking not where you're not sure if these things are big damn Oritz or if it's offer from Eretz Ha'amim. It for sure is Eretz Ha'amim. But they made a gzeira because there was a suffix in Eretz Ha'amim whether there was tumor or not. They made a gzeira because of that suffix. But not it's a suffix whether it's Eretz Ha'amim. That, v'chara, would not be tumor. Right? If you're not sure if it's Eretz Ha'amim or not. You're sure it's Eretz Ha'amim, but because it's a suffix, whether there's tuma there or not, they made exera that it's tummy. Okay. But this one, Rashi says, is different, which is difficult. Right? All the rest, this one, we're not sure if it's urine from a human being. And even if it surely is, it's a suffix whether he's tummy or tar. But here it's a sex faker. We're not sure whose urine it is. And maybe it's a behema. And even if it's a person, maybe he's tar, still it's tummy. Okay. And the chiddush is that even though the other one is surely from Behema, we don't say this one is for sure from Behema. This one still remains a son. Vadei magon the sotek tumasan yodeya vadei shenaga behem truma. We know for sure that truma touched it. Aval enu yodeya im heim tmeim im lav kin refarish bekula. We're not sure if they're tummy or not, but they made exera. They consider them tummy. And all of them you burn truma as if they were for sure. Okay, but not that we're not sure if these things are those things or not. That not. Sarfin v'hainu agusha. This is exactly the case that you burn truma if it touched clumps of earth from Eretz Ha'amim, even though the whole din of Eretz Ha'amim is only out to Safek, still you burn the truma. V'usheskinu kamashonim achar churban. This is years after the churban Beis HaMikdash. Kidaminim barash Hashanah gabe yud masos nosa shchina. That from 40 years before the churban Beis HaMikdash, the shchina and the Sanhedrin also went, what's it called, from place to place. And one of the stops was Usha, but that was after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that is what's it called. Let's just go a little bit further, and we'll go with the Iker Sugya Klei Schuchis tomorrow. Klei Schuchis, my time at Gazer, Bahu Rabbanan. So we said there's another Gzeira. That was on glassware. Okay, that was another one of the Gzeiras they made, that glassware should makabel tumah. Because the Torah doesn't mention glass. It mentions metal, it mentions klicheres, doesn't mention glass. Why the Rabbanan goes or tuma on klicheres, on glass, on schuchis, right? That if schuchis becomes tummy and truma touches it, then the truma is possible. Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Ish Lakish, ho il tchilas briyasim, minachol, since glassware is made from sand, shavinu Rabbanan ke klicheres. So it's not klicheres. So it's made in a different process, right? It's sand that's melted down, made into glass. And klicheres is baked, what's it called, earthenware. Okay, different process completely. But since it's made from sand, people would confuse it with earthenware, right? And therefore they made it like earthenware, klicheres, schuchis. Where it says, ela me'ata lo tehela entar b'nikva. That's the case. Earthenware, you can never be, if an earthenware kli becomes tame, you can't put it into the mikveh, it should become tar. If wood or metal become tame, you put them in the mikveh. Right? If that's the tumah, is only a tumah that needs a mikveh. But klicheres, the only way you can mitar is by breaking it and then re-kilning it or whatever, then it becomes tar, once it's broken. But it can't ever become tar in a mikveh. So if that's the case, if they made kli schuchis, tame, like klicheres, because of Kli Cheres, then it shouldn't be able to be Tahor in Mikvah. Al Matnan, and I'll prove to you that you can be Matahir Kli Schuchis in a Mikvah. Ve'elu Chotzesin Bekelim, it's listing here the things that make a Chatzitza, right, a separation between the water of the Mikvah and the Kli, so the Tefillah is not good. That's a Chatzitza. What things are considered Chotzesin Bekelim? Hazefes V'hamor B'Kli Schuchis. In Kli Schuchis, it's very smooth, so things don't stick to it. So most things wouldn't be a chatzitza because they're not mamish attached, where they prevent the water from coming in. They're just loosely attached in glassware. So the only things that are a chatzitza in glassware is pitch and more. I don't know what more is, whatever it is. Right? These are things that are sticky, so they stick to the glass. Mashma, that you can be tovel the glass. Right? Otherwise, it can't be a chatzitza. If the only way to mitire a glass by breaking it, what's all, you know, a chatzitza? Chatzitza is only legabe tefillah in a mikvah. So it seems like you can be told of glassware in a mikvah. Tosus says, okay, maybe it's talking not about glassware that became tamid. It's talking about glassware that you're tovel in a mikvah because you bought it from a goy, and it's the tefillah of kalim, new kalim that you buy from a goy, right? Not to be mitire it from tumah, okay? But to what's it called, to be tovel it for a kalim of, what's it called, that you have to be tovel tefillas kalim. So Tosa says, no, these, what's it called, it's clear that this was talking not about tefillas kalim, that it's talking about, what's it called, about tefila mitumah. Okay, because in the same Mishnah is mentioned things that have nothing to do with eating. Tefillas kalim, the guy be buying from a goy, is only eating utensils. But here's talking about tables and things that you don't eat bechlal and no shaykh to eat. Versus Hakamai Askina, Kyonchi Nikvo, the Haiti Flatokan Aver, Rab Meir Hidom, Rakohele Chakra Maimid. Okay? Cases like this. Kli Schuchis became Tomit. And you broke it. You put a hole in it. Okay? That's considered breaking it. A big enough hole, and it was tar. And now you filled up the hole with metal. So now it's a class Kli with metal filling up the hole. And it goes like Rameir. Rameir holds that since the only way this Kli can function is because there's metal holding up the whole kli now is considered like a kli mateches. It's considered like a metal kli. Because he holds, so everything goes after the maimed, the thing that seals the kli, that makes it functional. And the Rabbanan argue, they say like that. And it goes according to Rav Meir, who says that what's it called, that now, once you had a glass kli, and it was tameh, and you broke it, and you refixed it with metal, and the metal is what holds it together, so now the kli is considered a kli of metal, and that's when the chatzitza would be a problem in this kind of kli. It's a glass kli, but it's not really glass anymore. Now it's considered like a metal kli, so it could be tar in the mikvah, right? And you have to know what kind of things are a chatzitza or not. Rashi, the elu chotzin legabi tvila hazevis v'hamor garsina v'chli schuchis shehein chalokim, they're very smooth. They ain't on a makbid al tit the dover achra nidbuk, and people aren't makbid on other things that stick to them because they come up right away. And if you're not makbid, miut of the kli, that you're not makbid is not chotzeitz bichlau. Lefisha nofil me'elav, it all falls off by itself. A honey who demad bikituva. But these things stick and people are makbid. The kopid alayu. They ain't chotzeitz the dover makbid alayu. Only things that are chatzitz are things that you're makbid if they're there. If you're not makbid, right, and it's a miut, she'eino makbid, it's a little bit, and you're not makbid, then it's not chotzitz. Kigon shenikvo, v'tiro mitoris klicheres, it was tamei, you put a hole in it, and that was considered breaking it, and now it's tahar, right, because it's just like klicheres, shiviraso mitaraso, with klicheres, if you break it, it becomes tahar. V'heitif otocho aver, and you put lead in it, v'choshiv leikich limatris, now it's considered like a metal kli. The chol kabolas tumasol mishum aver hamanido. Because now the only reason it's makabel tumah is because you have the metal in the hole. Because if you wouldn't have the metal in the hole, it's broken. A broken kli is not makabel tumah. Hilkach isle taru nik. But now it's considered a metal kli. Now you can be tovel it. And if on the glass part there was these chatzitzas, it's considered a chatzitza. Okay.
Why is the view different than the adults? Why would they not go from the beginning? What should be the difference?
Because it could be Rechava Dalet, Arizura Shusli Atzma. Right? If the Iskopa was 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, so it's a Rishus to itself. Nisayeya leila Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, the Omer Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Omer hayu Rav Meir, and Rav Meir is Acherin, right? So Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi said in the name of Rav Meir, this supports what he said in the name of Rav Meir, because we have this brisa that says Acherim say, which is Rav Meir, that if you have a Rishus HaYachid inside another Rishus HaYachid, that there are two Rishuyos, and you can't carry from one to the other. What's the case? Kolmokum Shatamotzik Beis Rishuyos, Behem Rishus Achas. You have two separate Rishuyos, but they're really one Rishus. Right? You have a Kigom, Omud Rishus HaYachid. You have a post in Rishus HaYachid, Gavoa Yud Varachav Dalit, which is 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim wide, and 10 Tvachim high. So it's a normal Rishus HaYachid. But it's in another Rishus HaYachid, okay? It's in the Rishus HaYachid. Also the Katif Olav, you're not allowed to put something down on that Omud, even Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because people are going to make a mistake and they think, since Rishus HaYachid, you're allowed to do this. You're allowed to put down something you're carrying in your Rishus HaYachid, right? Rashes inside the house, this wouldn't be. It has to be out on the yard, okay? So if you're out in the yard, which gives the impression that you can, if you're out in the yard, you're carrying in your Rishus HaYachid, you can put it down on a post that's in your Rishus HaYachid. We're afraid that in Rishus HaRabim you'll do the same thing, right? And you'll put down a package on a post in Rishus HaRabim, right? And that'll be what's it called, the Hotzor, because in Rishus HaRabim, that post is Rishus HaYachid. So here, it's also Rishus HaYachid, but it looks like a different Rishus than the one that you're carrying in. So it may or may exera that you can't carry in Rishus HaYachid and put it down on a post in Rishus HaYachid. Okay? Lamaisa, Lachis Pasha is not like this. Lachis, if you can, okay, you can put down, you know, that goes or Rishus HaYachid after Rishus HaRabim in this situation. But that's what Rav Meir holds, and that's Taka what Acherim say. That if the Eskofa is a Rishus HaYachid, it's Rishus the Atzmo, and you can't carry from your house in onto that Eskofa or whatever. Tashi. Mimhois Eskofa Gavoy Yud, Sefer the Milsa Dacherim, the Bryce of Leil, the Hodr Nokit Le Lefushe Kamo Omar Ma. The Gemara is now going back to that Bryce to finish explaining it. Rishus the Atzma, the Eimat Talklim Boathilum in Abayas, the Apagab the Shneem Rishus HaYachid. So from the house to this Amud, but to this platform you can't carry, even though they're both Rishus HaYachid. The same thing would be in an enclosed area on the outside. But if the post was in your house, you have a chest in your house, right, there's no Havamina that in your house itself you shouldn't be able to put things down on a chest or whatever. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking either where the Rishus is Mechulak, you're going from your house into this platform, or it's in a yard with a platform. Omer Hayar Meir, the Hu Acherim, Kiramim Behorios. Acherim and Rav Meir, same person. Vehem Rishus Achas, the Shneem Rishus HaYachid. El Shazen Nomor Fazeh Gavoa. They're both Rishus HaYachid, except one is flat and one is a platform. Kigon Omud Rishus HaYachid, also the Katifel of Minachotzer. You can't, if you're carrying in a Chotzer, which is Rishus HaYachid, you can't put something down on that Omud. So that would be the second case. In other words, the case that we're talking about in the Mishnah is going from a house to a platform. Or the case that Acherim is talking about, what Rav Meir is talking about, is where you have a chotzer, which is Rishus HaYachid, and you have a platform in the middle of the chotzer. Either one of those would be awesome. Mishum Tel Rishus HaRabim, Gavoy Yud Baruch HaDalet. What's the reason? Because if you had a platform like that in Rishus HaRabim, and you thought that I could do it in Rishus HaYachid, why can't I do it in Rishus HaRabim, put down the platform? Just like in Rishus HaYachid. I can put it down on the platform and Rishus HaRabim and do the same thing. To have a Rishus HaYachid, dig the Chiyuvah D'Oraisa Rishus HaRabim L'Katif Olav. There, if you, what's it called, put it down on that platform, Rishus HaRabim, you have an Issa D'Oraisa Hotzor from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So in order to avoid that, with anything that looks like that, even Rishus HaYachid, we ask it. The Maestro Halakha is not like that, and Halakha is you're about to put it down. What? But no, the kati for love doesn't mean only the kati. It means the kati for love means put it down. Right? You only the kati, right? Kufa naich al gabi karka. But the body is firmly planted on the ground. The hand is not on the ground. So Rashi's mashma that together is your hand is in the air. Right? Now, Kamina would be what if your hand is on the ground? Put your hand on the ground, not in the air. Then maybe yada would be naich. According to the other ones, that the hand goes after the body, so the hand is never at rest in Rishus HaRabim, for your body is in Rishus HaYochid, right, from Pakir, your body is in Rishus HaRabim, and your hand is in Rishus HaYochid, because you're going to have to bring your hand back, so your hand is not at rest, it's just in the transit, because it's not in the same place where your body is. So according to that, it doesn't make a difference if it's on the ground or it's in the air. Okay, but Rashi is mashma that your body's on the ground, that's called Nayif. Your hand is in the air, that's not called Nayif.
Why is it necessary that the hand's going to follow the body? The body will walk.
No, because the hand is secondary to the body. The body's the Iker. You could. But if you're looking at which is the Iker, which is the Tofel, the body's the Iker. So the hand goes after the body, the body doesn't go after the hand.
But if an Ani's hand is inside, Baal HaBayit put something in it, he's not chayv right away, unless he brings it outside, right?
Right.
But you're saying his hand is part of the body?
Yeah, but his hand is not Rishus HaRabim. His hand is part of his body, but his hand is not part of Rishus HaRabim. Lashon Acher, Yodar Basar Gufo Grira. Second Lashon, that's what we said, that your hand goes after your body. The Neila, the hand can't be considered resting in Rishus HaYochid, because your body's in Rishus HaRabim. But the Maishi, your hand is not Rishus HaRabim either. Right? You're not Rishus HaRabim. Lo Garsin and Yisera, you don't need that. It's enough with, Rashi says, with Yodar Lo Nayach. You don't need the other case. So I can bench. Amar lehu Rava Bar Shmuel, Tanina b'madvarim amurim le'atzmo, aval acherin nemsa. That's only for yourself. But for other people, to be motzi other people, you want to bench and be motzi us in benching, right? That's how they used to bench. One person benched and everybody was yotze. So that's like teaching other people. That tisha kavin doesn't help. Elohav l'vigilif roch, I should bench. D'nofel olai arboim saw. So Rashi says it doesn't mean he had 40 saw fall on him, because that's no good. And then he was tovel in 40 saw. He went to a mikvah. I went to the mikvah. So I can even bench for other people. Amar lehu Rav Huna, tovel l'vigilifro. No, I should bench. Delekei loy lohai velohai. I don't have either one. I mean, it's not about carry. I didn't need either one. Rav Chama tovel b'malayuma the pisco, the hotzi rabmi de chovason. Rav Chama used to go to the mikvah b'davka erev Pesach to be motzi the rabbin yedei chovason. Right, he should be the one stamma to say the Haggadah, and the less hilchukas kavasei in the halacha is not like that. You don't have to go to the mikvah dafka even to be motzi other people in divrei Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer bli atzmo. No, Omer Rava hilchusa. No, the one before. Omer Mar Gabi Esther Takonis Bobakama Perik Maruba, Omer Rava Hilchasa, Pluksa Damaroi, who the Pasak, Rav. Rav is passing now in the machlokas we had, whether the guy's sick, he brought it upon himself, he didn't bring it upon himself, the Pligi Aliba de Rabbonin, Niu Hashba Anan, Karabinyo, Rabbi Yehuda Mevaser Nagia. This halacha that Rava Paskin is not Nogaya to us. Because the Maisa, we go one step further. We already Paskin that we're not knowing Tzvilas Ezra Bechla. That Rava was passing according to the Amaroim that argue in this and hold of Tzvilas Ezra, this is the halacha. But we already said, Nog Alma, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that there's no Tfilas Ezra b'zmanazeh. Right? Nagina, Kedomer Rav Nachman Le'el, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzvah Basrohu, and he's the later authority, and therefore the halacha is that we're not choshesh for Tfilas Ezra. That's what Rashi says. La'atzmo, la'asok betor li'atzmo, la'lami la'cherim nemso. Rabbi Yehuda omer nemso, mikomoko, nemso, sh'omer b'chol inyan shehem, l'kam l'torishma. One of each group said that which the Reisha said, that's what they're arguing about. Aseifa the Rav Yehuda, lo shana el bekarka, lo tema mikomer kom to Rav Yehuda achshurei the kli osa. Don't think that Rav Yehuda was matir 40 saw, no matter if it's in the ground or it's in a kli. The ain kosher and then saw the karka, it has to be in the ground. Well, the kaman boy and came my mikomer kom, but it's mikomer kom also could be even drawn water. To be motzi somebody in benching is like teaching somebody else. The doesn't mean the 40, the mikvah fell on him, because that wouldn't be good. In talking where he went into a mikvah, 40 saw. Lo hai velo hai, lo etzrachti, lo lezu, velo lezu, shalor eisi keri. I'm better than all of you. I didn't have need test cabin, I didn't go to a mikvah, I wasn't about keri. Taval ubirich, rogel hoi elasos ken. He used to go every year of Pesach to the mikvah, the rest of the time when he was learning for himself, he had Tisha Kabin. But Erev Pesach, when he was having to be motzi people in the Haggadah, then he went to the mikvah. It's not like that. Halacha is that even if you're kosher for Tzilas Ezra, just like it helps to have Tisha Kav and to learn yourself, it helps even to teach other people. Inami the kind of one Rabbi Meseira, or like we said before, there's no Tzilas Ezra anymore because we hold like Rabbi Meseira that ain't the Torah Mekabim Tuma, and they were Mvatl Tzilas Ezra.